हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेशगोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। देवी ह्येषा गुणमयी मम माया दुरत्यया मामेवयं प्रबध्यन्ते मायामेतां तरन्ति ते। दट् वास् वर्स् 14 सन्निध। This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, this is the verse we're discussing on Sunday. I mentioned at the end that the Maya has a profound effect on everything in this world which we are not conscious of. Like it says in the Bhagavatam also that when Krishna is smiling, Krishna's smile is that Maya. Hasam unmada karincha Maya, it says in the Bhagavatam. That smile itself is Maya. Krishna's smile is Maya. Hasa unmada karincha Maya, it says in the Bhagavatam. So we saw there that the this relationship with the mind and spiritual life, just like past, present and the future, and also mind has this nature of thinking about the past most of the time. It's either busy with the past or it's busy with the future, planning for the future. imagination or expectations, whatever that is, for the future. And about the past, it's always analyzing it and interpreting it about it. Interprets based on the past, isn't it? So, as soon as we say something, immediately it becomes past, isn't it? So therefore, it says here that whenever, whatever the mind touches, whenever your mind touches something, it becomes past. There's a very small gap there, that whenever you're talking something which is in the present, the mind is not present at the moment, it is coming out from us. But as soon as the mind gets involved, it becomes the past. So, in other words, what is truth in the world? Truth is present only, isn't it? If you think about it, the truth is what is present now, right now, what's happening, that's what the truth is. And once it has finished that, the mind has come in and then it's become the past. And similarly, the mind will analyze the future. Mind cannot touch the present. That's the most important thing to remember. So the time, what is over, the present that is, and neither the past nor the future has anything to do with spiritual life. Because spiritual life is always present at the present. That is why, if you remember, you may have read this, but I don't know whether you understood that the depth of that statement in the Bhagavadam. Ya shrutva talparyo bhaved, it says, when gopis pastimes with Krishna after the rasa dance, it says in the Bhagavadam, ya shrutva talparyo bhaved. There is a statement there at the end of the chapter. What it means is that right now it's happening, Krishna's pastimes. Right now it's happening. We understand it like this, how it's happening somewhere else in some other planet and like that. What we have to understand there is that ya shrutva talparyo bhaved. When you are hearing, immediately at that point it's happening inside us. That pastime of Krishna. It's happening at that very moment inside us. Inside us. So, mind cannot touch anything. As soon as the mind touches, it has become the past. Therefore, the conclusion is that anything that the mind brings out is not a truth. Anything that comes from the mind is not the truth. Mind can only tell you it must have happened in the past. What's happening right now, mind cannot touch it. Mind cannot touch it. So, the recorded present is the past. The present, what is recorded, is the past. And imaginary present is the future. Imaginary present is the future. So, only the mind can only touch what is not the truth. This is why mind is given mind has been treated in a very rude way by Krishna also. Krishna is also saying that never trust this mind. Never trust this mind. So, you know how Krishna says that in the Bhagavadam? Vachodidam tadamrutam manasodhyatam evava. In the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, whatever you speak with your words, or whatever it is coming from your mind, take it that it's full of falsity and lie. Vachodidam tadamrutam manasodhyatam evava. Krishna is saying like that. For this reason only. Whatever you have spoken with your words, that is lie. And whatever you have spoken, thought it in your mind, that is also lie. And because mind cannot touch the truth. Mind cannot touch the truth. You will see a word used, avyaktam. Avyaktam means what's not clear, avyaktam. Etu aksharam avyaktam, Krishna is saying that. Etu aksharam avyaktam. The definition of the truth, aksharam avyaktam. It's aksharam, it is avyaktam, unmanifested, it's translated in English. Actually, what it means is that it cannot be experienced by the mind. Experienced by the mind. So, you can see this. Mind is born from the soul. It's born from the soul. It stays in the soul and it dissolves in the soul. Still, the mind is telling us that it doesn't know the soul. That's how it is. Mind is still telling us it doesn't know the soul. Just like the movie on the screen is on the screen, and the movie and the personalities in the movie is telling, I don't know anything about the screen. It is similar to that. The relationship with the mind and the mind and the soul. Relationship with the mind and the soul. That is why that so similarly, that bodham or awareness or in us, it is in there that the mind has sprung up from there, and the mind will, when it's not functioning anymore, the mind has no importance anymore, then the mind goes away from that. So that's all about the mind. So Maya is, Krishna is saying here, Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Durateya. Maya is very difficult to overcome, he says there, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, you will see in so many places, I can keep giving you so many places where Maya has been spoken, about Maya's power has been spoken. That which making impossible things to happen, that is Maya. Sometimes you won't be able to justify that, how it happened. But Maya can do that. That's the power of Maya. When Vidura was talking to Dhritarashtra about the danger of the Mahabharata war, which is going to happen, and Vidura spoke to Dhritarashtra, somehow or the other, you should keep Duryodhana under control. Otherwise, because of this Duryodhana's arrogance, the Pandavas have been thrown out from the kingdom, and Krishna is not very happy about that, and it can end up in serious disaster. Everything was warned to Duryodhana. Duryodhana did not take very serious notice of it. In spite of all that, Dhritarashtra also kept on avoiding the issue. So one day, Vidura sat with Dhritarashtra and tried to make him understand that the only option now left is, the war is imminent, the only option left now is to throw Duryodhana out of the kingdom. He said this to Dhritarashtra. And when Vidura was talking this to Dhritarashtra outside, Duryodhana was listening this. So when Duryodhana heard that, immediately Duryodhana came inside and sent to Vidura to call him outside the room and told him that, do you want to go or do you want me to throw you out from here? This was Duryodhana's response to Vidura. Vidura at that point took his bow and arrow, left it in the corner, and he paid his obeisances, not to Duryodhana, not to Dhritarashtra, not to Krishna, but to Maya. He says there at that point that this Maya, my obeisances to Maya, he says, that knowing very well that Vidura was managing the whole affairs, and because Dhritarashtra was blind, wasn't it? So Vidura was managing everything, and suddenly Duryodhana could turn around to such an extent, asking him to leave from the kingdom. The such a shock to Vidura, but Vidura says, I'm not shocked at all, because Maya is like that. Maya is like that. What Maya does any moment, nobody can say how things will happen in this world. Nobody knows about it. So he pays his obeisances. Sukadeva Goswami says, not to Krishna, not to Dhritarashtra, but to Maya. And he walks away from there. Reason why he left the bow and arrow there was that he did not want to get involved in the war. And then he goes for that long pilgrimage from the palace. And it's after many, many years that he comes back. By then Krishna has already left the planet and gone. So that's one instance. There's so many places about that power of Maya is spoken. Kashyapa Prajapati had two wives, Aditi and Didi. From Aditi came all the demigods, from Didi came the daityas, demons also. So at one point, Didi's children have won over and taken over the control of the heavenly planets. So at that time, one day, Aditi Devi felt very unhappy that her children has been thrown away from the, Indra and others were thrown away from the heavenly planets. So one day, when Kashyapa Prajapati came to the ashram, Aditi Devi says to Kashyapa Prajapati that Kashyapa Prajapati inquired about her welfare, and she says to him, I'm happy except that my children are all being put into this situation. So Kashyapa Prajapati says to her, what do you want? She says, I want to have a son born who will be able to kill these children and get the kingdom back to me. What can Kashyapa Prajapati do? Two wives. One wife is saying that I should get all the other children killed. So what did Kashyapa Prajapati say? Aho Mayabalam Vishnu. Vishnu's Maya's power. Just see, he says. Aho Mayabalam Vishnu. Sridhara Swami says in the Bhagavatam commentary, on the Shruti Gita commentary, he says, Nrityandi tava vichanangatagata kala subhava divi bhavan sattvarajastamo gunakathan unmilayandi bhuvin mamakramyapada shirasadibaram samvardayandi aturam maya te sharanam gadospin hare tvam evadam vareya. Sridhara Swami says to Narasimha Murthy, because he used to be a devotee of Narasimha Murthy, Sridhara Swami says that Mrityandi Tavikshanangata Kala Subhavadevi. In the form of time and space, and also under the three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa, all the time she is dancing. Who? Maya. And she is dancing on my head and putting so much pressure on me. He says, Samardayandi Aturam. And when the pressure becomes unbearable, I become helpless. Sridhara Swami is saying to Narasimha Murthy, Samardayandhyaturam Maya, that Maya, Te Sharanam, therefore I take your shelter. He says to Narasimha Murthy, I have no choice except to take your shelter. Samardayandhyaturam Maya, Te Sharanam, Gadospinhare, Tvamevadam, Varaya. If you can protect me from this power of Maya, what is crushing me, he says. It is crushing me all the time. That is how Sridhara Swami felt about Maya. So this Maya is a big topic in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. We don't understand how this Maya, how powerful she is. If you look at it seriously, you can see that. Originally our nature is pure consciousness, isn't it? Pure consciousness is what we are. That pure consciousness which is which has actually affected us in this way, that from this pure consciousness came three things. What is that? The Jiva, Ishvara and the world. Three things. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat. This has happened due to Maya. If Maya is not there, these three things don't happen. The very moment from pure consciousness, which is pure bliss, Satya Chitta Anandam, that is the origin. From there, creation begins, isn't it? When creation begins, Jiva comes first. Ishvara, Supreme Lord, who is controller of us in the Maya and the world. So these three different entities had come due to the power of Maya. If Maya is not there, Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat doesn't exist. Ultimately, when everything is wound up, they all go back and to the same source. And then Maya is, you're out of Maya. So Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat, all three has come from Maya. Or from Maya, number one. Number two, we are in three states all the time, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Where are they coming from? That's coming from Maya. Because she sends the Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the three modes of material nature, and they create these three, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti in us. So our own life in this world is totally dependent on Maya. Maya is, practically you can say, when Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, or in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti state, we are always in Maya. We are always in Maya. So Maya's another role is like that. Then if you look at Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, how did they happen? They also happened because these three entities, because of Maya. Maya created the birth for them. Maya created them in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Brahma is in passion, Vishnu is in goodness and Shiva is in ignorance, isn't it? So three predominating deities, Trimurti they are called, isn't it? Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. They are also present in this world because under the influence of Maya. Maya has a role there also. So wherever Kalushayadi Chatushpadam Bhidanan Tukadita Gadana Padiyasi Maya, that anyone who thinks that that Vedas and Upanishads, Vedas and the Upanishads, those who have mastered them also behave no better than four-legged animals by tempting them with wealth and possessions. After studying Vedas and Upanishads, these temptations for the wealth and possessions must go from inside. That's what is expected. So even those who have studied the Vedas and Upanishads, even they get attracted by the wealth and possessions of this world and Tukatita Gadana Padiyasi Maya. That is the power of Maya. What a pity, it says. What a pity, it says like that. And then, Brahmayadi Bhavasagare Nitandam Tukatita Gadana Padiyasi Maya. Soul which is pure bliss and consciousness, pure and infinite consciousness, it identifies with the body made of five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, and continue to suffer through this transmigratory existence due to the power of Maya. It's Maya which is doing all these things. We keep saying why we understand, we read everything, we told that we are not this body. But she won't let you out from there. Therefore, we can't understand it. We keep saying we are not this body, but in reality, it's not happening. Why? She has kept us under that control. That's why it says, Brahmayadi Bhavasagare Nitandam. Bhavasagare means this constant change of body, repeated cycle of birth and death. Brahmayadi, we get caught up in that, unable to come out of it. Bhavasagare Nitandam Tokatita Gatana Padiyasi Maya. That is the power of Maya. So wherever you look, anywhere in this world, in everything, she has her hands in there. She has her control over that. So, so one thing is that the Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat, that means living entity, supreme controller, and the world. Those three from pure consciousness has come because of the influence of Maya, number one. Number two, Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti. Three states in us present all the time due to Maya. Number three, even after those who have studied the Vedas and Upanishads and have understood, they get attracted by the energy of Maya and they fall from there. They get attracted, tempted by the wealth and possessions. To get attracted or tempted by the wealth and possessions of this world means avidya. That means avidya, means ignorance. And so that ignorance even captivates the personalities who have studied the Vedas and Upanishads. And that's Maya. That is Maya. And then continuous cycle of birth and death for all of us. What we are going through, Brahmayadi Bhavasagare Nitandam. They are constantly transmigrating from one body to another and unable to come out of it. That is Tukatita Gadana Padiyasi Maya, again Maya. So, like this, Abhashada Gunavarna Jadi Bhede Sugamidi Vipravida Dyaham Kratim Cha Sputayadi Sudadara Geha Moham Tukatita Gadana Padiyasi Maya. What else she does? She creates all this consciousness in us, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. This is Maya. This is also Maya. And what else happens? And attachment to the son, wife, home, all these things. If she is not doing it, it won't happen. If she is not doing it, it won't happen. So that's what it says here. Sputayadi sudadara geha moham Tokatita Gatana Padiyasi Maya. Suta, children, Dharam, wife, Geham, house, and that delusion in us. All of us, isn't it? Sputayadi Sudadara Gehamoham. Where is that coming from? Tokatita Gatana Padiyasi Maya. That is Maya. Then, what else? Also, these differences as Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva, and to look upon them as three different personalities, one different from the other, this is also Maya's power. This is also, that's Maya which does that. Actually, the source is same. From the same Atma, they had all come. And whether you call it as Brahma, whether you call it as Vishnu or Shiva, it's the same soul inside. It's manifesting in these three different forms. Antaryami inside us is manifesting us. So now if you look into all these things, you can see why Krishna says, my Maya is very powerful. Isn't it? How powerful the Maya is. Devi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya, Krishna is saying. So it is not possible to fight this Maya. Her control is so total in everything. Right from the very higher level to the lowest level, she is controlling us. And that Krishna smile, Hasam Unmadakarinja Maya, that smile of Krishna is considered as Maya. Is considered as Maya. That through that smile, Krishna captivates the whole world through that Maya. So that's what's about Maya. So here we are discussing this, that incident with Narada Maharshi and Krishna, isn't it? About Maya, what happened. There is many incidents like that mentioned in the Puranam and also in the Bhagavadam, where there is a lot of reference to the power of Maya, lot of reference to incidents, what has happened in with Maya. There is a great, fantastic story in Yoga Vasishtam about Maya. Fantastic story about Yoga Vasishtam about Maya. There is a great Brahmana who was very absorbed in very strictly in austerities and penances. Gandhi was his name. Very austere personality. So he used to go to the Ganga River and stand in the water and perform these penances, very intense penances. So after a long period of penances, once Vishnu appeared in front of him. Gandhi glorified Vishnu. After that, Vishnu asked him, what is the boon you want from me? Gandhi says, I want to know about Maya. I want to know about Maya. Like Markandeya wanted to know about Maya, Gandhi also wanted to know about Maya. Vishnu says, why do you want to know about Maya? So, is it not important that by knowledge and devotion, you should try to escape from this Maya, instead of trying to understand what Maya is? So, why do you want to know about Maya, instead of trying to escape from Maya? So, again, Gandhi kept insisting that I want to know about Maya. So Vishnu says to him, you'll come to know in course of time what Maya is, he says. So when the time is right, it will happen, he said. Gandhi was a little bit unhappy. He still wanted to know about Maya right now, he said. So he was thinking that I've performed so many penances, so much penances, still I have not understood Maya, and continue his penances after that. For some time, he stayed in the banks of the river, Ganga River, and suddenly after a while, he became very old. He became an old person. And he lived alone, but he could not manage himself because of the old age. So when it became difficult for him to live like that, his children came from the village where he came from and took him home. The children looked after him very well. And then the children had grandchildren, so he spent a lot of time with the children and grandchildren, everyone together. Afterwards, the disease became very serious. He became very ill. And he was lying down in the deathbed. He was going to die. At that time, a chandala, a dog eater, he was singing some song and he was going through the street, which Gandhi heard. And when he heard that, he started thinking, what kind of life is this, he said. And he was frightened that, will I become a chandala after death? All this fear came to his mind. Because he thought about chandala and left his body, he became a chandala in his next birth and took birth in Huna's land. Huns were the Huns live, where they he took birth. He took birth as a Chandala. And because he died as a Chandala, he died in thoughts of the Chandala, he got this birth as a Chandala, and the same musical quality followed him. Because he had in his mind these thoughts of Chandala, the singing, the song. They had this instrument with a single string, and he was singing a song on that, and he was wandering around in that way. So now he was born in this land, he grew up there, and he became also a musician later. And he had the single string instrument with him, and he was wandering. He got married there, in that place, in this Han's land, and he had many children also, and he lived there for many years. Then what happened was, in that land, there was a drought. There was no food. So, because of that, the family all died in that drought. Everybody died. So, he left there and started leaving the land. He wanted to go away somewhere else. He left that country, Honadesham. He left that and wandered around. Eventually, he arrived in a land called Kiramandalam. It's mentioned in the Yoga Vasishtam like this. He arrived in a place called Kiramandalam. When he arrived there, he saw something very interesting. So there, the local king has died. The king died in there. And they wanted to have the new king installed in the throne. The system they had an elephant. They given a garland to this elephant. And whomever the elephant goes and puts the garland, they will install him as the king in that small area, local land, wherever it was. So, when his name was Katanchaga, this person, this Chandala, his name was Katanchaga, he was walking through the street without knowing anything. Elephant saw him and put the garland on his neck. Now, when the elephant put the garland on the neck, everybody thought that he is the next king, that he must be a Kshatriya. That's how they installed him as a king in that land. He became the king there. And everybody thought that he is a Kshatriya. But they made him the king, and in a very short time, Katanchaka thought that this is not a bad situation. He has been installed as the king. And what else he do? Because of some purva samskaram in him, he picked up all what is necessary to execute the duty of the king. And he started continuing his administration there. So he carried on for 8 years in that way. But what happened was, one day this king Katanchaka was sitting in his garden. At that time, another Chandala came that way with the veena in the hand, and he was singing and walking through the side of the garden. When our king heard that, he got attracted to that, and he went with the Chandala and started singing with him. So when he sang, all the local people got a shock that our king is going along with this Chandala and singing together. So they started getting concerned about it. Is he really a Kshatriya, or is he also a Chandala? Like the way he was freely associating with him. So they were feeling bad, because they felt that we didn't inquire about this king properly. What is his background? Nothing was inquired. So they started inquiring, and from the inquiry they found out that he was also a Chandala from the Huns land, from the Honadesham, that he has come from there. And as soon as they came to know that their king is a Chandala, the local people all felt so bad that they couldn't bear that. So most of them committed suicide. They couldn't live in that land anymore, thinking that they had to live under his control, under his administration. So they were saying there that the local people committed suicide. They jumped into the fire and killed themselves, saying that we couldn't live in a country like this, which is controlled by a Chandala. They said like that. They jumped into the fire. So after they saying this, the king also felt very bad that because of him all this has happened. And he also jumped into the fire. He also jumped into the fire. And after that, when he looked, he saw that he was standing in the water, in Ganga River. He was standing in the water. By now, it's only 1 or 2 minutes. Mahavishnu has disappeared by now. After telling him all these things, he has disappeared. And it's only a minute that this has happened. In this 1 minute, all these things have happened. What? He stayed in the forest and he finished his vanaprastham. Everything, went back with the children home, had the children and stayed with them, grandchildren. And after that, he died and then he took birth as the Chandala. And then the thing, what happened about the drought that happened in that land. And then he left the land, he became the king, Katanchaka. And he came to Kiramandalam, this new place. And all these things happened within a minute. Within a minute it happened, all this in front of him. All these things have happened. So suddenly he realized it. Gadhi, who was standing in the water, realized this. What a dream I have gone through in such a short time. Then now onwards, I will not allow my mind, I don't want to know anything about Maya. He thought like that. And when he was thinking like that, and he again decided to continue with his penances in Ganga River, and came out of the river, and he came back to his hut, which he has built near the river bank. He was staying inside the hut. While sitting there, that somebody was coughing outside the hut. So he came out and looked, there was a Brahmana standing there. So very thin and very austere looking Brahmana. He was his guest. So he brought him inside, massaged his feet and looked after him very well and gave him food, everything to eat. And while inquiring, Gadi asked him, "Where are you coming from?" He says to him, "I'm coming from Benares." "So do you live in Benares?" He said, "No, I don't. I am a Brahmana from Kiramandalam," he says. The Kiramandalam was the kingdom where this Brahmana had become the king, isn't it? So then Brahmana says, "We had a king there, and that king, we didn't know that he was not a Kshatriya, he was a Chandala. And we understood that, and because that I have lived under that king, I've come to Benares now to perform what is called Chandrayana Vratam. Chandrayana Vratam is for purification. If you have fallen into some unknown impure situation, to purify yourself, you execute Chandrayana Vratam. So to execute that Vratam, I'm going to Benares because it was awful for me that I had to live under that king, or who was a Chandala." So when he heard this, Gadi could not understand. He is not able to get the head and tail of it. What is going on? And what happened in 1 minute, what he experienced, it's all being reported now as though it's a reality. As though it is somebody is coming and reporting to him. As though it's a reality. So he started thinking, what I saw, was it a dream or was it not a dream? What was it, he says. And is what he's saying is true, or the truth is the dream I had experienced is true? He was not able to connect anything. And so he decided to go with the Brahmana and to find out whether there is a place called this Kiramandalam, and if there's such a thing, and a place where this Hona Desham, where the Huns lived. And so went to this land, inquired about it, and there was a place called Hona Desham, and there was a Chandala who lived there. And he had a family, and there was a drought, and they were all dead. And later on, they went into this place called Kiramandalam and inquired there also. And they found out there was a land like that, there was a king there, and many people have died in that land. Everything was a fact. But at the same time, Gadi was thinking, "I am still here in this way." Again, he performed penances. And Vishnu came there. Vishnu says to him, "What is the truth actually? What I experienced, that is the truth? Or is this what I have gone and inquired? Is that all the truth?" He says, Krishna says to Gadi, Vishnu says to Gadi, "Gadi, this is Maya. Maya, don't try to understand what it is. Never try to understand what is Maya." This is what Vishnu says to Gadi. If you try to understand Maya, you won't understand. You will never. Yam nayena virudhyade, it says. Yam nayena virudhyade. All your logic, reasoning, nothing will work there. Nothing will work there. Also, she has no connection with the past and the future. Past and the purva apara bandham. That's what it's called. Purvam apara. Purva means the past, apara means the future. They have no connection. You will not be able to make out anything. Any connection with the past and the future, if you are controlled by Maya. You cannot understand it, how it all works. Time, space, all these things doesn't exist for her. Time and space doesn't exist for her. I mentioned this also before, that somebody asked, one person died, and he goes to Ramana Maharshi and asks him about this. That this person who died, who was known to Ramana Maharshi also, he says to Ramana Maharshi, that he was a devotee, he says to him, that you remember that person who died a while ago, would he have gone and taken birth somewhere else now? And if he has taken birth, how old he will be? Year or two, like that. Ramana Maharshi's answer was that, yes, yes, he would have taken birth, maybe he could be some 70 or 80 years old now. That was the answer. What it means is that our time and space and all that, we are taking it as though it's an absolute thing. But actually, they are not. Because time and space, it's all our experience, in our experience only, isn't it? We accept it like this. We have some false concept in our mind that we have control over time and space. But practically, they are not realities. They are not realities. Our brain is a petty instrument which can never fathom the depth of the truth. This is Maharshi's reply. Maharshi's reply to him. You will never understand these things. Also, the limitation of our brain. The limitation of our brain. Though, because this is a problem, you know, this psychologist who conduct the study of, you will see sometimes, that about this birth, from the past birth and the present life. Sometimes some children are born, they remember about the past. And these psychologists, they go there to verify that. They have done that few times. And to find out whether it is true or not. But what actually puzzled them was that the children who were born, they spoke about the village they lived in the past. Who their parents were, who their relatives were. And they even could tell them that the place where they were living in their previous life, the house they lived, and they could even tell them about the cabinets or shelf where they kept certain things. So the psychologist goes there and verified all that, and they found everything is true. But what shocked them was that the child who was reporting this, who was saying all these things, he says he had left his body there 5 years ago, and here he has taken birth and he is here for almost for 10-12 years. No understanding of the time, that it doesn't match with the time what the child is reporting now, depending on, based on his age. When they looked at it, that they could see there that some rare experiences like that. So, unable to connect based on the time factor. Everything else is correct. Everything else is correct. But when you bring the time factor into it, it doesn't come out correct. It doesn't come out correct. So, what's happening is that this truth, which is not a place, not based on place or time. Time and place cannot have any influence on the truth. Any influence on the truth is something beyond all these things. And we try to enter there with our mind and intelligence, which means the domain of the truth, absolute truth. We are trying to enter there with our limited brain and limited mind, and trying to logicize and bring that truth into this spectrum, into this spectrum. And that is where the problem is. So this is why Krishna is saying there, Vachodidam tad anurdam manaso dhyatam eva va. It's an amazing statement. Kim badram kim abhadram va. Krishna is saying there. Kim badram kim abhadram va. In the Bhagavadam, this is in the very end of Uddhava Desham. While talking to Uddhava, Krishna is saying to Uddhava that the kim badram kim abhadram va. Manaso dhyatam eva va. He says, manaso dhyatam eva va. Kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasyal vastu na kiyat vajodidam tad anurdam manasadhyadam eva cha. Uddhava, understand that what is badram, what is abhadram. Badram means what is auspicious here, what is not auspicious here. Something we are saying, this is good, this is nice, this is right. Something we are saying, it is bad, it's not auspicious, it's inauspicious. And we make all these kind of statements in this world, isn't it? On various things. We make all these comments about people, about various incidents in this world, various objects in this world, various ways. We make opinion about various things in this world, isn't it? About people, about countries, about other things. Krishna is saying, Kim badram, kim abhadram va, dvaidasyal vastuna kiyat. It's all the result of dvaidam. Everything is the dvaidasyal vastuna kiyat. All is nothing but dvaidam. From dvaidam everything is, because from the platform of the soul, all this is just a manifestation which will go back eventually. Therefore, none of them are true. None of them are true. Temporarily, from that, our temporary experience, based on our senses and mind, we are making some conclusions. That's what it is, Krishna is saying. Therefore, vacham vajodidam tad anurdam. Whatever you speak in this world, it's all lie. That is the word Krishna is saying. Vajodidam tad anurdam. Whatever you speak in this world is all lie. It has no validity. Tad anurdam manasodhyatam eva va. And equally, lie is what you think in your mind. Never trust the mind, never trust the words, in other words. This is how Krishna says that Parasvabhava karmani na prashamse na grahayet vishwam ekalpakam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubreshade sarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. So in the Bhagavadam, all these things are spoken about. And there again, the power of Maya. Power of Maya. And Krishna has given us a little brain with which we are deluded. This is what it is. Krishna has given us a little brain with which we are completely deluded, which has taken us away from the truth. So, and we are running around with this brain. Once it so happened, there are so many instances like that. Once, a person who sells the toys came to your house. So he had with him, and and in that one street, there was a very intelligent person who was living there in that street. Intelligent means he was a kind of a professor or a scientist or something like that, who was living in that street. With his family, he lived there. So this person who was selling the toys, he came with all his toys to sell. And when he got there, he saw there the child, or this professor's child, wanted to buy one of the toys from him. So one particular toy, he got attracted to it, in which there was a lot of these little balls which you keep rotating, and it goes through different circles and falls into a hole in it. The child got attracted to it, and he wanted, kept on pushing his dad to buy that. So the father called this toy person, the toy seller, and negotiated with him and brought this toy and gave it to the child. And the child started trying to, it's a kind of a puzzle. He has to keep on moving and allow the ball to go through different circles and fall into the hole in the middle. So, and there were about 8 or 10 balls which comes through that. So the child kept on trying that, and again it didn't work. So he was getting very frustrated with that, the children as they are. It's frustrated. Naturally, he thought, my father is very intelligent, let me get him to do it. So the father has to take the next responsibility Father does that. So, father tried to do it, he also couldn't do it. Father also couldn't do it. So, he started getting angry himself. Father was getting angry because his own ego was getting hurt. So, he calls this man who was selling the toys and says to him, so, why do you sell this kind of toys which doesn't work? He says to the man who sold the toys, he says to him, I tried very hard. I can't do it. How is a child going to do it? He says. How is a child going to do it? So the man who sold the toys, he said, I never told you that it will go and fall into the hole. You have thought yourself that it will happen. It's only a toy, he said. I've sold it to you because you wanted to buy it. But I never said to you any time that it will work like the way that it has been designed. So you yourself has thought in your mind that it is going to work. So this is the this is the purpose of understanding life, of understanding the life. Similarly, in this world also, we should not think that we will be able to solve all the problems of this world. It is the greatest foolishness to think. It's just like that toy. That we have come here, Krishna has thrown us here into this situation, and trying to think, anyone in this world who is thinking, that we will, you can see how the whole world is in this illusion, that we can solve all the problems here. It is not possible. It is not possible. And Maya is saying like that, yam maye na virudhyade. Yam maye na virudhyade. We should never try to solve the problems of this world. Try to solve the problems of the world. And also, not try to find out where the problems are coming from, because Maya is controlling the show. Maya is controlling the show. In other words, Moola Anveshana. Moola Anveshana means going to the very deep and trying to find out what the cause of all these things is not worthwhile. It's no point in doing that. The only thing what we have to do, what is expected of us, is to escape from here before, instead of going through this, accepting the body, life after death. Life after death. So, jityasa nivrti, jihasa nivrti, prayapsa nivrti, chigrisha nivrti, sattva nivrti, bhaya nivrti. These are all the different kinds of nivrti. When self-realization happens, we get free from all this kind of illusion. This is one of that. That there's a lot of problems in this world. We have to sort out all the problems here. This is a kind of illusion in us. And that will leave us when self-realization happens. When self-realization happens, that illusion will go. It's a big illusion it is. And that is why all the government is working for that direction. But we see all the time that they keep on trying, nothing happens. Nothing happens. They try to create peace, it develops into another 10 different wars in 10 different places. Every problem, but this is in a very subtle level, if you think you can see it's what Krishna is saying is the truth, isn't it? But we won't accept it. Our ego won't allow us to accept that. We continue hammering again and again, thinking that we have the solution to all the problems of this world. And at various levels, the government, the different organizations, all of them are trying to solve the problems of this world. As soon as there is some war somewhere, a lot of people getting killed, immediately relief work goes from there and starts relief work. Earthquake happens, immediately relief. What relief will help? When earthquake have tens and thousands of people are gone from this earth in one, tsunami comes, whole thing gone. Relief work, what relief can do? What can relief do? It is not possible to think that this is what Krishna is saying. In this world of Maya, when you don't understand Maya, you will get trapped in all these kind of things. Rather, to realize the truth is more important. That self-realization, what Krishna is saying here. So, whenever that desire comes up inside, that what is Maya, that itself is a disturbance inside. That itself is a disturbance inside. It is a disturbance. And whenever in that perfection inside us, purnatvam inside us, when there is a defect in that, it is at that time all this movement happens in us about this world. It's a chalanam. Chalanam movement is movement. So the disturbance, and it is that disturbance that we want to change the world. We want to change the world. We want to change everything. Most of the time we don't accept it and we don't realize it, that Maya is working in this world. In two instances, devotees also had the same experience. Once one devotee told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I was in Maya," he said. Prabhupada laughed. he said, "When were you not in Maya?" He said, "Sometimes we think like that, isn't it? Oh, now I'm not in Maya." So things like that. There's no time when we are not in Maya. We're always in Maya. That is the power. Her power is so powerful, she is, that you can never say that you're out of that. That is why this power to put us this situation in us, Brahmam. Brahmam means it's perplexion or that happens to us through these three modes, Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. And it is that same power which is influencing our body, our mind, our intelligence, everything. And it is that same power of Maya that is keeping us in this bodily concept of life. So when we say that, people ask this question, "Oh, I heard Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying. Everything is making sense, but it's not happening to me." They keep saying that. "Why am I not able to get out of this bodily identity? Why am I not able to get out of this bodily concept of life? I understand that I am not this body. I understand that. What Krishna is saying, I understand that. But still, I am not able to come out of it." It's still, as soon as you start doing something, vyavaharam begins, everything is gone in one lot. That is Maya. That is the power of Maya. That she would not allow us to ourselves be free from there. That's why Krishna is saying here that Mam evayam prabadyande Maya medam tarantite. Maya medam tarantite. Maya medam tarantite means one who can cross over the Maya, cross beyond the Maya. In other words, if you stand here and start fighting with her, you won't win. You will lose. You will lose the battle. How to go beyond her? How to go beyond her? That is what Krishna is saying here. And the only way to go beyond her is that one who surrenders completely. One who completely surrenders to her. In other words, in the hands of Maya, just like a small baby or a child, you have to be. Or in other words, one who surrenders to Ishvara, who is the controller of the Maya, who is controlling us inside this Maya, and one who unconditionally surrenders unto Him. Krishna says, Tesha maham samuddhartam. You will see there in the 12th chapter, if you look, Krishna says, who will take us out of this Maya? There is a verse there, Krishna says, options there. You know this 12th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that different options are given. If you look into the verse number 6th is the first option, the 7th is the second option. That second option is that Teshamaham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat bhavamina chirat partha maya aveshita chetasam. Teshamaham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat bhavamina chirat partha maya aveshita chetasam. So, Teshamaham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagarat. One who wants to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death. Bhavami ajira alpartha maya aveshita chedasam. One who has surrendered to me. That aveshita chedasam means one who has surrendered unto me. Krishna says, I will take him beyond this Maya. Only through surrender it will happen. There is no other way to fight this Maya. That is the important thing. That is the important thing. So Maya, what Krishna says here, he said, Bhagavatam says like that, that Maya, Krishna says, that Mayam tu prakritim vidhi, Mayinam tu maheshwaram. Mayam tu Prakritim Vidhi Mayinam to Maheshwaram. And Maya and the controller is Ishwara. Ishwara inside the inside us, he is present there in the heart, isn't it? You remember? In the 18th chapter, Krishna is saying, Ishwara Sarva Bhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani Yendra Rudhani Mayaya. Yendra Rudhani Mayaya. Ishwara Sarva Bhudanam, in all living entities, Krishna is present inside us, Sarva Bhudanam Hrideshe, is present inside Arjuna. Arjuna Tishtadi, I am there as Ishwara. What do I do? Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani, all Bhudam, all living entities, they keep on doing different things in this creation without any understanding. Brahmayan, that's a Brahmanam, it starts this chakra or move around like this. Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani, all living entities are going through this cycle of birth and death. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, that in this wheel of Maya, Maya's wheel, that is, Maya's wheel is the cycle of birth and death. In that, all the living entities are put in there and they keep on going through that cycle. And only out of them, those who have surrendered to me, Krishna says, they escape from that. And that is why, if you look into that verse in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, you will see that immediately Krishna says, after saying this Ishwara Sarvabhudanam verse, what did he say there straight away? He says there that tameva sharanam gacha, that if you want to escape from this Maya, the only option is tameva sharanam gacha. 62, yeah. Tameva sharanam gacha. Earlier verse says Ishwara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Material energy is called Maya, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. And if you want to escape from that, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharada Tal Prasada Alparam Shandim Stanam Prapsisisha Shwadam. Surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Tat Prasadal Param Shandim Stanam Prapsesi Shashwadam. So in those two verses, Krishna is saying that the very only way to cross over this Maya is by surrender. Is by surrender. So what does that surrender mean? Surrender means, so Krishna is controlling us inside us as Antaryami, isn't it? And using this power of Maya, it makes us develop different thoughts inside. Different thoughts inside. And outside, it makes a connection with the objects in the world. Our thoughts inside that builds up has a connection with the objects in the world outside. Krishna does that through the power of Maya sitting inside us as Ishwara. Krishna manipulates the Maya, material energy, and through the influence of the material energy, a relationship with our thoughts inside the mind and the objects in the world outside. Krishna creates that. And inside it creates different emotions, ragadvesham, towards people outside. Why does it happen? We have to think that also, isn't it? Why do we feel happy with someone and unhappy with somebody else? Why does that happen? It's that Krishna's power of Maya. Krishna and the Maya, through Maya, Krishna creates that inside us and outside. Inside it creates desires. Krishna creates desires inside. And outside, to fulfill those desires, engages us in karma. Inside, it creates desires. And outside, it creates karma. Inside, it creates us in the form of I am the enjoyer. And outside, it creates the objects of enjoyment. Bhokta and bhojyam. Inside. inside it creates as I am the doer, the feeling. I am the doer as a feeling. And outside it creates a feeling that I am the enjoyer of those results from that. Inside it creates a feeling that I am the seer of everything. And outside it creates a feeling, these are the objects I am seeing. Drik and Drishyam. Drik and Drishyam. These are all in the Vedantam important steps. How to understand Maya. Otherwise, how do we understand Maya? We think, oh, we'll just say, oh, Maya. Oh, I was in Maya, as I say. You can make a very loose statement like that. But that statement doesn't mean anything. There is so much attached to it, behind that statement. Isn't it? When you say you're in Maya, in such a subtle level, everything is controlled in us by Ishvara inside, who is sitting there. And with the using this power of Maya, she keeps us in this world. We keep on moving around like this. All these different things, inside and outside, inside and outside. Everything that's happening in us. And we helplessly get victimized by everything what's happening. We are thinking, oh, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. What can you do when all these things are happening like this between inside and outside? So Krishna is doing this. So there is no point in asking Krishna why you are doing this. He's not going to get an answer for that. The only thing what you can do is to just to surrender to Krishna. Just to surrender to Krishna who is doing that. Though in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, Mahabali said this to all the asuras. What did he say? When Krishna came and measured all the 2 feet, and then only then Mahabali's friends realized that this Vamana Murthy has deliberately come to cheat him. And they took up all his friends. Mahabali's friends were standing there when the sacrifice was going on. So they all got ready to fight the war. They wanted to kill Vamana Murthy. And that's they started to fight the war. Vamana Murthy's army was also there. Vishnu Dudas were present there. So at that time, Mahabali says to his friends, don't fight. There's no point in fighting. Because who has given us all these things? He has come to take it away. Why should we fight? This was Mahabali's point. Mahabali says, our Maya is such that, oh, this is mine, I hold on to it very strongly, isn't it? But who gave it to us in the first instance? We won't think about that. It is mine now. But the claim now I have on the land, on the property, on the money, everything. So Mahabali also had a lot of wealth. Mahabali is saying, who gave it to me first of all? He has come to take it back. So why should I protest? Sometime he gave it to me and now he has decided to take it back. Why should I fight against that? That was Mahabali's point. What right have we got? When he gave it, we took it, accepted it, everything very happily. Both the hands, give it to me, we say. When he comes and takes it away, we are fighting. We want to protest. This is our situation in this world, isn't it? That when we took it, when we got it, we didn't say, oh, it's mine, we hold on to that very strongly. But when Krishna takes it away from us, we feel upset about it. So that is what he says in the Bhagavadam about that Mahabali statement. If you look in the Bhagavadam, you will see there that the Mahabali says in a very nice way. He says to his friends, Ya prabhu sarvabhudanam sukadukhopavattaye tamnadi adivartidam daityam paurushe ishvara puman. He says here that Ya prabhu sarvabhudanam, this prabhu Krishna Vamanamurti who had come, sukadukhopavattaye tamna adivartidam daityam. He may, you are feeling happiness and distress. When he gives you, you feel happy. When he takes it away, you feel unhappy about it. But you will not be able to come out of it. Na adivartidam daitya. My friends, you won't be able to go beyond this illusion. Paurushe ishvara puman. That your paurusham will not help here. Your strength won't help here. When he decides that this is how he is going to do it, you won't be able to do anything about it. Best thing is to surrender unto him and hand over everything to him. This was what prompted Mahabali to to go against Shukracharya's words even. Mahabali said at that time, Ya Prabhu Sarva Bhudanam. Mahabali says to his friends, Hey Viprachite, Hey Raho, Hey Neme Shruyadam Vaja, Ma Yudhira Nivartadvam, Nana Kalo Ayamarthagrat. That when the time is not favorable for us, it looks that the time is not favorable. Vamanamurti had come and Vamanamurti has decided to take everything back, what he has given us. So there is no need to feel depressed about it. It is his thing. He is taking it back. He has given to us. He is taking it back. So that is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vamanamurti Mahabali says about that to his friends. And saying this, he says to Vamanamurti, now you put your feet on my head. Put your feet on my head. So at that time, what did he say? Yachishye sarvadohantam sanugam sabarichadam tatra sannihido vira. That I will, Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, Rekshishye sarvadohantvam, now that you have surrendered, I will protect you. That is what Krishna wanted. After, for the two steps, Krishna, Vamanamurti measured everything. But in the third step, which is the most difficult thing to hand over, is this false ego. Isn't it? It is because of that we are staying in this jiva state. Jiva state is due to the false ego. And that is what Krishna is looking for. That's what he wants. Not the property or the wealth. It's that ego inside. That is the only thing we will hold back to the last minute. Unless we are forced, we won't hand that over. Once you have handed that over, then there is no more us anymore. We are not there anymore. It's only due to the ego that we have this separate existence. And that is the most difficult thing to surrender. Property, wealth and all can be surrendered. But ego will not surrender easily. That is when Mahabali eventually surrendered and put his head, that give handing over the ego is that bowing down in front of Vamanamurti is that handing over the ego to him. Mahabali was so powerful. He used to think of himself as the controller of all the three planetary systems. Isn't it? Mahabali was such a powerful personality. And he surrenders now. He surrendered everything. It was not easy for Mahabali. Surrendered everything. But then when Krishna said, where do I put my third feet? Practically what Krishna was demanding was that you surrender yourself now. And that surrendering himself is that third step. What Krishna has put on, Mahabali said. That is when Krishna said, Rekshishye sarvadohantvam. Now I will protect you. Sanyugam sabarichadam. Not only yourself, all your members of your family will be protected. And you will see me standing outside all the time. In Sudalam. Go to Sudalam there. And Prahlada and Mahabali, everybody went to Sudalam there. And they lived there. Rekshishye sarvadohantam sanyugam sabarichadam. And this was, that is Krishna's mercy. Maam evayam prabadyande mayamedam tarandide. So only those people who have surrendered, they get that protection. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Devi hyesha gunamayi mama maya durateya maam eva e prabadyande mayamedam tarandide. So that surrender means, you should remember Mahabali. That surrender of that false ego. That is the surrender what Krishna is talking about. That surrender. When that surrender happens, then automatically, without any further question, Krishna's mercy comes. It starts flowing from the other side. From the other side. So that surrender, as Bhagavad Gita says, is to Krishna, who is Antaryami inside, isn't it? Antaryami inside, as the super soul. So, maam evayam prapadyande maya medam tarandide. So, here you will see that the. Yes, sarvadharman parityajya maam eva mai vihidam swalma bhodam sarvalmana. తత్రైవం సతి సర్వధర్మాన్ పరిత్యజ్య మామేవం. ఆచార్య స్వామి జీస్ కమెంట్ ఉండాలి, తత్రైవం సతి సర్వధర్మాన్ పరిత్యజ్య మాం ఏవ మాయా వినాం స్వాత్మభూతం సర్వాత్మన ఏ ప్రపద్యందే తే మాయాం ఏతాం సర్వభూతమోహినీం తరంది అతిక్రామంతి తే సంసారబంధనం ముచ్యంత ఇది అర్థః. ముచ్యంత ఇది అర్థః. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, సర్వధర్మాన్ పరిత్యజ్య మీన్స్ హియర్ సర్వధర్మాన్ పరిత్యజ్య ఇస్ స్పోకన్ దట్ దెర్ కెనాట్ బి ఎనీ కండిషన్స్ అటాచ్డ్ టు సరెండర్, ఎనీ కండిషన్స్ అటాచ్డ్ టు ది సరెండర్. అదర్ వర్డ్స్ అన్కండీషనలీ వి హ్యావ్ టు సరెండర్ టు కృష్ణ. అన్కండీషనలీ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సరెండర్ టు కృష్ణ. వాట్ డస్ దట్ మీన్ అన్కండీషనలీ సరెండర్ మీన్స్? అన్కండీషనలీ సరెండర్ మీన్స్ ఇన్ విచ్ ఎవర్ పొజిషన్ స్టేట్ కృష్ణ హెస్ పుట్ అస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ టుడే, విచ్ ఎవర్ స్టేట్ వి ఆర్, వీ హ్యావ్ టు అక్సెప్ట్ ఇట్. దాట్ ఈస్ ది ఫస్ట్ థింగ్, టు అక్సెప్ట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ సిట్యువేషన్ కృష్ణ హెస్ పుట్ అస్ ఇన్ టు దిస్ వరల్డ్, అకార్డింగ్లీ టు లివ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, నాట్ కంప్లైనింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్, నాట్ కంప్లైనింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్. How the train is running, go along with that. There is no other choice. When it stops, it stops. In other words, without creating any sankalpam inside, without creating any sankalpam inside, and simply to live in the world like a toy in Krishna's hands. Toy in Krishna's hands. Bhagavatam says, Ishasyahi vashe loko yosha dharumayi yatha. Ishasyahi vashe lokam. The whole world is in Krishna's hands. Yesha dharumayi yatha. Just like the wooden puppets, how they are controlled by the puppet who plays, controls the puppets, in a similar way, Krishna is controlling this whole world. Yesha dharumayi yatha. Ishasihi vashe loko. So, practically, we are just that puppets in Krishna's hands. If we realize it, then this pride will go from inside. Our pride will go. And when that pride goes, we are in the liberated state. Therefore, we should not feel the envy towards karmam. Towards karmam. Whatever Krishna has put us into that situation, that we should not go against that. Whatever karmam has been given to us in life, not to go against that. Not to go against that. Whatever Krishna gives, to accept it as prasadam. He will get liberated. That is what it means, that sarvadharman parityajya mameva mayavinam. That unconditional way of surrendering to Krishna. Unconditionally accepting whatever situation we have been put into in this world. So, sarvadharman parityajya mameva mayavinam. Mayavi. Mayavi means one who controls the maya is Krishna, who is situated inside as Andaryami. ఏ ప్రపద్యందే వన్ హూ ఈ సరెండర్ అన్ టు హిమ్ సర్వభూత మోహినీం అతిక్రామంతి. వెన్ వీ సరెండర్ దెన్ దట్ మాయా విల్ నాట్ డిస్టర్బ్ అస్ ఎనీమో. మాయా విల్ నాట్ డిస్టర్బ్ అస్ ఎనీమో. సో సంసార బంధనాత్ ముచ్యంత ఇత్యస్తః అండ్ వీ గెట్ రిలీజ్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ సైకిల్ ఆఫ్ బర్త్ అండ్ డెత్. నౌ వీ హ్యావ్ అండర్స్టూడ్ దాట్ వాట్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ హియర్. What should we do? What we have to do is that always to live in this world with that mood of surrender. Always to live in this world with the mood of surrender. The mood of surrender. In other words, to stay like children in this world. When we travel in the train, that sometimes one person who got up with a suitcase, he boarded the train and he threw the suitcase on his head and he sat in the train. And he felt sad that the train has to carry everybody and including my suitcase, but I'll carry the suitcase, he said. Similarly, we also have to know, actually he doesn't have to carry anything. The train is carrying everyone, including all the suitcase, luggage, everything. Similarly, in this world also, Krishna is doing everything. Krishna has the complete responsibility. We don't have to take any responsibility on our shoulders. So same thing. But so long as this false ego is inside in us, that's a ghost. As long as it is there, it won't allow us to surrender for Sharanagati. It won't allow us to do Sharanagati. It will keep on talking to us from inside. It's called a Jalpanam. Jalpanam means it keep telling us something, some alternative for everything. So, from where did this ego comes? This ego inside us is called the sinful reaction. Ego is the sinful reaction in us. Ego is the sinful reaction in us. So, that is that sinful reaction is this false ego. And even if you hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedantam, everything, this thing what is inside, it will give us trouble like a bullet. It will keep on giving us pain. Even if you have understood everything, when it comes to practice, it won't happen. When it comes to practice, it won't happen. And Sharanagati, in one level, it is very simple. But on the other hand, you will find it also very, very difficult. Very difficult also. Just like a dead body, if you throw it into the water, it will float. Isn't it? It will float in the dead body will float in the water. But if we jump into the water, we go down in the water. Why there is this difference? Because in us, that ego is there. It is that ego that pulls us down. When the ego leaves, what is the difference? When the ego leaves, he is not trying to escape anymore. To that extent, it is surrendered. Isn't it? The dead body is so surrendered, therefore it stays on the top. So long as we have the ego inside, we will go down. Now, scientists can explain anything about this, but that's another thing. But the example is given like this to make us understand that the power of this surrender is such, power of this surrender is such, that when the surrender happens, Krishna is saying here, mama maya duratteya, that maya, you can only cross over the maya by surrender. There is no other way to win over maya. So, not to try to escape from that. If we try to escape from her, we will sink. We will sink. Both the dead body and the living body, they are both bodies. What is gone from the body? What's gone from the body is that one body is floating, the other body is going down in the water. The body, we have got life now. We jump into the water, we go down in the water. But when the body, life leaves us, we fall into the water, we will float in the water. Isn't it? Body floats in the water when there is no life. But when there is life, the body goes down in the water. So the false ego is the thing that kept the body going down. So material life also, life in this world, actually when the false ego gets stronger, we become more, go down further in life as well. So not only that, all other animals, they swim in the water without learning. They don't learn how to swim, they just swim. But we have to study how to swim. We have to practice it, isn't it? So all this is thing, these things is the power of that Antaryami inside. Antaryami decided that for us, because we have got false ego, we have to learn how to swim in the water. Animals don't. They just swim. When they get into the water, they know how to swim in the water. They are not being trained. They don't have false ego. We have this thing called false ego and ego. And therefore, therefore we say, but ego, ego, eject it out, the go, out. So ego, although it is ego, he never goes. It stays inside. That is his ego's nature. So only the name is there, but he will never go. Inside, sitting in every one of us, he will make us feel that we are doing it. We are doing it. and it creates a lot of difficulties and problems for us. So Krishna is saying here that whatever you may try to surrender, it will not allow you to surrender. Which one? This ego will not allow you to surrender. And that is the next verse. Although all these things Krishna has spoken in this verse, Devi Hyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Durateya Mam Eva E Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarandide, Krishna says, Krishna also tells us that only by Sharanagati and surrender and completely getting rid of this false ego from inside alone, you can cross over the Maya. Maya you can't fight. The only option given to us is to surrender and get over her. Surrender to Antaryami, Ishwara, who is inside us as Antaryami. That is what Krishna said at the end of the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Ishwaram, Ishwara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Maya. That Maya, using Maya, Krishna inside us as Ishwara controls our life and actions, everything in this world, completely. Completely He controls everything. And the only option left is Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. By totally surrendering to Krishna, Antaryami inside, surrendering to Him, you can cross over this Maya. Krishna has said that in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, Krishna is saying there is no other option left. Why? This false ego inside won't allow you to surrender. And because of that, the next verse. Namam duskratino modham prabadhyande naradhamam mayaya abhardhyanam asuram bhavam ashritah namam duskratino modham prabadhyande naradhamam mayaya abhardhyanam asuram bhavam ashritah namam duskritino mudhah prabadhyande naradhamah mayaya abhardhyanam asuram bhavam ashritah. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So, Krishna says here, three, four categories of people, isn't it? So, this false ego inside, he is called Asura. Namam duskridino muda prabadhyandi narathama mayaya abhurdhyanam asuram bhavam ashada. That asura bhavam is asura. Asura, and that is that false ego. So ahankaram is there, this asura is everywhere. Asura is in everyone. Now, Hiranyakashipu is performing austerities and penances, isn't it? Vasishtha and Vishwamitra is also performing austerities and penances. What is the difference between them? One's austerities and penances, that means Hiranyakashipu's austerities and penances is for selfishness, selfish reasons, isn't it? Then, and Krishna is saying here, for his selfish reasons he is performing austerities and penances. So Krishna gave here five different categories. Duskritinaha, mudaha, naradhamaha, mayaya abhurdhyanaha, asuram bhavamashradaha. So duskritinaha, with this that verse is over. Duskritinaha, mudaha, naradhamaha, mayaya abhurdhyanaha, asuram bhavamashradaha. Duskritinaha, if you look at it this way, Duskritinaha means those who are engaged in very sinful activity, Duskarma. Duskarma means sinful activities. And they do that and it becomes their habit. Once they do that, it becomes their habit. Because of that, what happens? Mudaha. they become mudha. Mudha means their buddhi or intelligences become dull. It become very dull. Intelligence become dull. Narathamaha. They become, they are the lowest among the mankind. And apakhrita-jnanaha. Apakhrita-jnana means their buddhi or intelligence has been robbed. It has been stolen. And in other words, knowledge will not stay in them. Knowledge will not stay in them. Maya has taken their intelligence away. Asuram bhavam ashradaha. Asura bhavam, they have taken shelter because of that. So they are like that. So this asura is not a very special category of people. Men in human species also, when our false ego gets very strong, at that time we are asuras. We are also asuras. So, so society also, man is asura in social man, because society we say here, isn't it, in this world, society, that society is a ego-oriented thing. Society is a ego-oriented thing. Based on the false ego, ahankaram, is we create this society. If you look at it in a very subtle level, you can see that a group of false egos join together and they create the society. Big ego comes from that. In the whole world, it's fighting like that, isn't it? In the name of this society and community and all that kind of things. So, so society, community and all that, when we group together, what is actually grouping together? It's a false ego of a group of people. And that becomes very strong in them. It increases. Because of that, the false ego increases. Self-realized soul, if you notice, they will never identify with any community, any society, and any time. This is why they are different than us. We tend to identify with a community or a society and feel our ego satisfies there. Isn't it? To join some club somewhere and to be a part of that club. Everybody enjoys that. And we look at others who are not in the club, we look at them different. This is very nature of the society. Krishna is saying there that all that's happening there is your individual false ego group together and become a very powerful ego and taking shelter of that ego. So it becomes more difficult. You cannot surrender to Krishna as a group. You can't do that. It's not possible. Because false ego will not allow. Individually, you have to surrender to Krishna. Individually. So, you can see the problem in spiritual life. On one side, we want to create an international society. What happens? International ego comes there then. On the other hand, in spiritual life, we have to be on our own. Because otherwise you can't expect to surrender with everybody together. That's not going to happen. It will never happen. All it will happen is, other individual egos will influence us and your ego also will get boosted in that way. False security will prevail in us. Taking shelter of the society, community and all that creates this problem. Whereas all those who are realized and self-realized personality, they are on their own. Only Krishna and they. Nobody else. Surrender for them is only possible. Otherwise it's not possible. Sadashiva Brahmendra, Ramana Maharshi and many others, they have shown this to the world. That they can't be bothered about the world. They can only tell you what's the right thing to do. Surrendering to Krishna is on a much higher level than surrendering to an institution or a society or a community. It's on a much higher level. And there all other surrenders are included in there. So that's why Krishna is saying here that the... So this surrender is the only thing they won't teach you in the school or college. They will never teach you that. And on the other hand, the school they'll teach you chemistry, geography, physics, chemistry, everything. But, and similarly, the word Ishvara, Krishna is also another word in one of their various subjects what they are teaching. It's another thing in there. So, although we all say that we are all God conscious and we believe in God and everything, it's only just a talk. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. And if you look at the syllabus at the school and everything, when they teach religion also, nothing is given value to the world Ishvara or God is never presented to them in the proper way to understand what that God means. It's something they have been told, taught with other subjects. That is why teaching religion in the school itself is the wrong thing. That's not the place for teaching religion or spiritual life. This word, correct word is spiritual life. To make them aware, because what happens is, all the children who come to school, they study this topic, God or spiritual life, like another subject. They think it's something to be taken by mind and intelligence. It's not to be taken by mind and intelligence. What is required, spiritual life is practically, strictly speaking, the whole science of spiritual life is surrender. Surrender, sharanagati, prapatti. And it's called, all the acharyas have defined it very clearly. Surrender and sharanagati is spiritual life. And that is not to be taught at the school. There it's all subjects related to ego, whatever that is, chemistry, physics or whatever. So Krishna is saying here, Dushkridino moodhaha. They are Dushkridinas, moodhas, Asura bhava mashada, abhakrata jnanam. So 90% of the people in the world, is subjects are related to that. Therefore, Ishvara is not important for us. So therefore, even though prapatti, surrender, may be a simple thing, it will not happen. It will never happen. It is not important for us. So for us, what it is, after this world, after we have got all these arrangements in this world going nicely, after that we are willing to discuss about Ishvara. About Ishvara. So one Yuktivadi. Yuktivadi means who believes in logic. They are called a Yuktivadi. That means for them everything has to be based on logic in this world. One of them said like this, that after this world, if there is a God existing, let him protect me. And that was his statement. Because when he was going to die, he was frightened. So Krishna is saying to us, with a little bit of compassion and mercy, he is saying to us that whoever is not surrendering to me, asuram bhavam ashrita, he is a asura. He is a asura. So although surrendering to Krishna, actually Krishna is not asking anything. All he is saying is, surrender your false ego to me. That's all he is saying here. But so long as that false ego is inside, he won't allow us to surrender also. Where did this false ego come to us in the first instance? Because it is the after effect of traveling through various bodies in different lifetimes. From different bodies we have acquired this false ego and it has become very firmly established inside. And till that goes away, it will stay like that. Asuryam bhavam ashrita. So, four category Krishna mentions here. So, if you look into this verse and the next verse, you will see something very interesting. Very interesting. After saying this about surrender that Krishna said here, Namam Dushkadino Muda Prabhadyande Narathama Mayaya Abhakradanam Asuram Bhavamashvadam. In the next verse, Krishna is saying that four kinds of people surrender unto me. Isn't it? He says here, Chadurvidha Bhajande Mam Jana Sukradin Arjunam Artho Jityasur Arthati Yani cha bharadarshabham Chadurvidha bhajandemam Jana sukrdin arjunam Artho jityasu artharthi Yani cha bharadarshabham Chadurvidha bhajandemam Janaha sukrdino arjuna Artha jityasu artharthi Yani cha bharadarshabha. Oh, best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of piousmen render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Now, here, Chaturvidha Bhajante Imam Jana Suhurdi. So, four categories Krishna is saying here, that Asuram Bhavam Ashridam. In all Siddhantam, whether it is Vaishnavam or Shaivam, all Siddhantam, Vedantam also, there is a philosophy called Kripa Siddhantam. Kripa Siddhantam. Kripa means Krishna's mercy. Now, this is the most important of all kinds of realizations. Different realizations we have. We call it Atma Sashalkaram, Jnana Sashalkaram, Self-realization, various names we give. Out of all that, this Kripa Sashalkaram is the most powerful one. It's the most powerful one. Why is it called Kripa Sashalkaram? Is that to go to Krishna and say to Krishna, I have no qualifications. I have no qualifications. The only qualification I have is, after saying this, you say to Krishna, that only qualification I have is that I have come and surrendered unto you. Now, you can do whatever you like with me. Whatever you do, like me. If you start looking, ask me the question, what qualification do you have? I am telling you, I have no qualification. If somebody surrenders like that, that means instead of our sadhana, our knowledge, our effort, everything is zero. Everything is zero. In the beginning, in spiritual life, we take a little credit for all these things, isn't it? I have done so much sadhana. I have done so many things for Krishna. And that is that false ego dictating from inside. False ego is telling us from inside, all this sadhana, what you have done, and it will definitely be your protection. But Kripa Sashalkaram is a much bigger thing. And Kripa Sashalkaram, what is happening there is that that accepting that Krishna has got this amazing power called Kripa. Amazing power called Kripa. To have faith in that. That is the most important thing. That I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing. Either I don't have the sadhana strength, power of sadhana in me, nor do I have any knowledge, shastram, or any kind of austerities or penances I've got that I can offer it to Krishna. I have nothing. I am completely useless. That surrender, and that is Sharanagati. When that Sharanagati happens, Krishna says that at a particular point, when that surrender is perfect, instead of we going to Krishna, Krishna takes us out from here. Krishna takes us out from this situation where we are in today. That is called Kripa. That's called Kripa. That Kripa is the most powerful thing of all the other Sakshalkaram. All the other, whatever you get through your sadhana, whatever you get through your knowledge or study or the realization of the soul through studying Shastram and Jnana Vijaram, Brahma Vijaram, Atma Vijaram, what they call it, all that, none of them is as powerful as Krishna's Kripa, mercy. That mercy is the most powerful of all the Sashalkaram. Krishna confirms that. When Krishna talks in Bhakti Yogam, 12th chapter, Krishna gives 5 or 6 different options there, isn't it? We have to study that very well, because each one of them on its own has a ability to get you out from here. Krishna is saying there. But if you look at all those options, this one particular option, Kripa, is the most powerful one. And you will notice, because all others require effort. Effort is required in all the other things. Whether you go through the process of Jnana Margam, or through the process of Sadhana, or through the process of Yoga Margam, everywhere your effort has a role to play. It has a role to play. And whereas this is the only one instead of, it is in another way accepting Krishna, capturing Krishna's attention. Sadhana is for capturing Krishna's attention, isn't it? That's why we chant the holy name 16 rounds or how many rounds we can. We chant the holy name, everything we do. That is sadhana. But all these sadhana and all of, say for example, not only chanting the holy name, japam, meditation, dhyanam, deity worship, puja, or all other activities, all of them is to capture Krishna's attention. And, but, what Krishna is saying here there is, tesham aham samurdhatam mrityu samsara sagarat bhavamina ajiralpatha mayaveshida chedasam. This mayaveshida chedasam is the one which is called kripa. Which is called kripa. That means, you have come to a stage in life, there's nothing I can do here. I don't have any capacity to do anything to please Krishna. I have nothing. And all I have is that this false ego what I have inside, which has stopped me from surrendering, hand that over to Krishna. That is the point what is Krishna's making here. That, that Krishna also like to take us out of this material existence. But false ego is not allowing. False ego is not allowing. So, that 5-6 options what Krishna has spoken in the 12th chapter, Bhakti Yogam chapter, this one particular one is very, very powerful, and at the same time it is the easiest one compared to all other things. Even sadhana also has its own limitations, isn't it? Sometimes so much sadhana you can perform and you come to a stage later on that even after performing sadhana, I didn't get Krishna. That stage will have many devotees go through that stage in some time or the other. So, but to develop that maturity, then has to come in us. So, Krishna is saying here, Dushkridina. Dushkridina means one who is engaged in sinful activities. Such things will pull him down more and more. It will pull him down. And it's a powerful force, that pulling force down. So, Krishna says, Dushkridina means sinful activities, and generally it is a force after effect of our own actions. So, this is why I'm saying, if karmam is not pure, or if karmam has got that special power of pulling us down in a certain level, in a subtle level, it will pull us down. So, people do not understand this power of karma. And that is where the problem is. That's where the problem is. So, namam dushkridino muda. Why Krishna is saying dushkridina? Dushkridina means who are engaged in activities which are actually destroying his advancement in self-realization. Advancement in self-realization. So, therefore, Krishna put them in the first category, Dushkridina. And that includes a lot. Dushkridinam mudham, that Dushkridinam means that engaged in activities which will destroy our spiritual life, which will destroy our spiritual life. Prabhadyande narathama mayaya apakrita jnanam asuram bhavam ashrita. Said, you can see this, that when that dushkritina is strong inside us, that we won't feel that sharanagati or prabhati or surrender to Krishna will not happen. Arjuna saw the universal form of Krishna. Duryodhana also saw the universal form of Krishna, isn't it? So Duryodhana, when he saw there, Duryodhana says, this is all just a magic, he says. It's just a magic, he says. And he did not want to surrender. Why? Mayaya apakrita jnanam. His knowledge has been taken away. So, that is what it is. That power of that 4 degree. So, so in that dushkridina word, sometimes people say, oh, why everybody else don't take it to Krishna consciousness? We say like that sometimes, isn't it? So, it is an explanation for that, this verse. This verse is the explanation for that, why people don't take to Krishna consciousness. That Dushkridino Mudha. because of their activities. So what is the reason they are saying here that why do they not come? Dushkadinaha. That is the answer. That is the answer. So why do they not engage in Krishna consciousness? Why do they not come to the process of bhakti? Krishna answers that question saying that we should not ask that question again. We don't have to ask that question again. Why? Dushkridinaha. Dushkridinaha. That is the reason behind it. So, so if they are all sinful, is there Krishna not present inside that Ishvara in them also? That question will come. Because here, if you ask that question, the answer is that everyone is Atma. Everyone is the soul. And Krishna is present in everyone. But but what Krishna is saying here, in four kinds of people, I do not allow them to surrender. Krishna won't allow them to surrender. Wherever there is this Dushkadino Modha, Naradhama, Maya, Bhakradajnanam, Asuram Bhavam, Ashrada, if we fall into any of those four categories, Krishna won't allow us to surrender. Ishvara, who is inside us, he will control us through Maya so powerfully that we will never be able to surrender. So you can see here, Chadurvida Bhajandimam Jana Surdi Arjuna Artho Jitnyasura Artharti Yanicha Bharadarshava. Krishna said that, isn't it? In that 16th verse. Chadurvida Bhajandimam. Four kinds of people surrender unto me, Krishna says here. They worship me. So, for example, some people, when they get very sick and they become very helpless in this world, they take to Krishna consciousness. They take to Krishna consciousness. So, so in distress, they come to him. In distress, they come to him. So, this different worship of different demigods also in distress has happened like this only. Different demigods also. Like there is this nine planets, they have the feeling they control our life, isn't it? Those who go to astrologers and all that. They worship these nine planets. Navagraham, they are referred to as nine planets, surrender to them. So, they, different murti, different forms people worship, based on the modes of nature. There also Maya has a decision-making power. Maya forces a person to worship a particular deity according to the modes of nature Maya has injected into that person. Somebody who is in the tamogunam, he will worship the deity through tamogunam. And so the deity on its own is not under tamogunam. What happens is that the tamogunam inside us, we put that cover onto the deity. Onto the deity. For example, some people worship the same deity in different ways. Take for example, Shiva is worshipped in the mood of goodness and in the mood of ignorance also. Shiva is worshipped. Sri Parvati is worshipped in the same way. Some places you will see she is worshipped in most horrendous way, according to the modes of nature in which the person is worshipping her. Persons worshipping her. And there are other people who worship her completely in the mood of goodness. And the results also you can see from that. Same Maya. Maya is her, isn't it? Maya is also worshipped by people according to the different modes of nature. Modes of nature. Therefore, so therefore sometimes you see people who have distress in life, they come and worship the deity, but according to the modes of nature, the process of worship will change. Although they are in distress. Although they are in distress. So, so when they feel a relief from their distress, they make some progress in spiritual life also. So, everybody, great devotees, they have all come to Krishna with distress. They have all come to Krishna with distress, not otherwise. You can't reach Krishna without distress. Distress is a pre-qualification for that. Pre-qualification for that. You know, why I'm saying this is that we underestimate things. We don't understand sometimes things, how spiritual life works. We have a lot of misunderstandings on spiritual life. Take for example, that we talk about surrender, surrendering to Krishna. And this surrender is concerned. We have the understanding that, well, I am not engaged in any horrendous activities in this world. I am doing a lot of sadhana. I am doing what best I can to please Krishna in whichever way it is possible and all that. But in return, we are also expecting from Krishna some kind of protection, survival in this world, that the body should stay healthy and also not much of a financial difficulties in this life. And overall a general satisfaction at home, in family people, I'm saying, for them, all these things are important. Keeping all these things together, we are trying to make an endeavor to surrender to Krishna. But if you look, sometimes you go to these big temples, when you come out of the temple or while going into the temple, sometimes you will see there people sitting there, number of them in a row, they'll be sitting there looking for some bhiksha, some money, something from the devotees who are coming to the temple. All of them, if you observe them, all of them, you can say, they have got sick in their body, they have got illnesses in their body. They have no doctor, they have no medicine. They have no money either. And many of them are not even guaranteed about the food. There is no guarantee that they will receive, get some food. They'll be sitting there day in and day out, look completely at the mercy of those devotees. If they give anything, they have it, otherwise nothing. Nobody is going to look after them, care for them, or absolutely no shelter for them from material side of life is concerned. We are talking about surrender, isn't it? We are talking about surrender. Those people, think about them. Think about those people there. They have no shelter in anything. No doctor, no money, no medicine, no food, no clothing, and depending on the weather, in all weather conditions, they live in this world. They live in this world. They have not studied Shastram. They have not studied Shastram. Due to circumstances, they have been put into that situation. But still able to stay there. And when the holy name comes from their lips, it has much more value than the hundreds of rounds we are chanting. That we must not forget it. Why is it? Because even when they were put into such awkward and miserable situations, when they chanted the holy name, it is coming from that total surrendered state. Whereas our holy name, when we surrender and we chant, even whatever little surrender we are trying to do, inside us, that ego is still working. Ego is still working. This is why our surrender is never the surrender. Our surrender is very much on the platform of identification with the body, me, mine, and all these things has not left us yet. When all those things are so powerful, the surrender is also like that. And those people who are in that state, for them, perhaps this could be their last birth. They won't come back again. In all temple cities like that, VIP will come. They'll be escorted by management right into the front of the deity. Oh, we'll think, oh, such a great personality has come to see Krishna. They are not important in the temple. They are not the one who are important. I'm not talking about here. In India particularly, where there is so many people who have taken shelter of different temples. Doesn't matter which temple it is. Right from Kanyakumari to Kashmir, all over you will see these people in the temple very quietly continuing with their spiritual life with complete surrender, absolutely nothing in hand. They live their life day after day after day, and they are protected by Krishna. That we don't understand that. They are protected by Krishna. You see some of them again and again when you go there, you see them year after year, very quietly, still chanting, still hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, still paying their obeisances to the deity, and satisfied with whatever they get, food that is given from the temple, they'll take it, without complaining about the feast, without complaining about anything about the quality of the food. And we are people, if the feast, something is shortage, we make a hue and cry about it. And we are the one who are surrendering. Imagine that. We talk about all big things, isn't it? But surrender is not so simple. Surrender is like that. When we go to these temples, these big temples, there are so many of them. You will see them all over Vrindavanam, so much. You go to the Banjabihari temple, you go to Radharavana Mandir, so many temples. Outside you will see them sitting there. We are thinking, oh, so there is their karma. We'll make a statement like this and we'll go inside. Thinking that, oh, it's their karma, they have to suffer like that. But we have got everything. I've come to surrender to you, Krishna. I had my 3 full meals right up to the neck. I've come to surrender unto you. This is our mood who are walking in. And I've flown in and I got the taxi from Delhi to Vrindavan and I got the best accommodation, everything booked up in whether MVT or whatever it is. I'm all comfortable, everything. And I come to surrender unto you. Who is surrendered? Ask this question. Who is surrendered to Krishna? We have to ask this question to ourselves. That is when you will understand what the surrender means. When you see in front of Banjabihari, you are sitting there, the number of people there. And most of them is sick with something or the other. They haven't got anything in this world to look forward to. They have no place. When it rains, they sit there in the rain, cover, pull their cloth on the top of the head. That is also a jiva like us, is it not? It's also a jiva like that. So, but we forget the fact that surrendering to Krishna is not so simple. It's not so simple. That is why when that distress comes in life, in a, such a powerful wave like that, and from all angles, when we become totally helpless, and Krishna, and that is called Kripa. That is Krishna's mercy. That Krishna puts us through that state, draws through that, and after that, that ego will never pop up again inside. Once we have gone through that state. And that is the surrender what Krishna is talking about. Mahabali had to go through that. Is it not? Mahabali had to go through that. When everything was taken out of Mahabali, Mahabali realized who he is. Up to that point, Mahabali didn't realize that. So similarly, all the great devotees you will see, at some point or the other, they had to go through this experience, including Srila Prabhupada. Had to go through that experience. After that, never again. Never again that ego will come up inside. So that is the surrender what Krishna is saying here. We think that, oh, bhakti process is so nice, it's full of fun, full of enjoyment, feast, dance, and and full of life, isn't it, of all the yoga system. But but when you start hitting the reality of bhakti, only then you will realize the bhakti's difficulty also. Every one of us will say, oh, chanting process, very simple, take to it. Everything is very simple. Such a nice process. Nothing else will work in Kali Yuga. Can everybody become a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is that possible? We say like that, isn't it? So we have to know that even in bhakti process also, when it comes to really bhakti, Krishna is saying there in the 12th chapter, Tesham Aham Samudhartha, Murti samsara sagarat bhavamina ajiral pratha mai aveshita chedasam. That person who is sitting there with the begging bowl, for him there is nothing else to look forward to in this world. And that is the state, mai aveshita chedasam. There is nothing else to think about anymore. Because we have got hopes about the future, so many things, plans, building, future plans, all these things are working. Therefore, mai aveshita chedasam is difficult. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, so that is that. We will discuss that on Saturday, continue from there. So many things. From now on, in this chapter, you will see Krishna's talking about the position of a person who has come to self-realization through the process of knowledge and to bhakti. Through the process of knowledge to bhakti. So, bhakti can develop in a person by Krishna's mercy is the easiest process. Krishna may put us through very hard times. He will smack us on both sides and kick us also many times. But when that happens, that is also a positive thing, a favorable thing for advancing in spiritual life. Otherwise, it will carry on like the way it is today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.